What's interesting is what most people might not realize is in that base discretionary defense budget, so this is the peacetime cost of the Department of Defense, it's at a record level of $553 billion. That's almost 3% more than the base budget for FY11. And almost half of the budget, 45%, goes to personnel-related costs. And so that includes the cost of military personnel, the uniformed military, as well as retirement benefits, and the cost of DOD civilian personnel. So people costs are a big part of this budget.
Secretary Gates said not too long ago that the Pentagon was becoming a healthcare organization that just happened to fight wars. I'm paraphrasing there. It's not a quote, but that was the gist of it. And it reminded me of the comments by the head of GM during the auto crisis a couple of years ago when he said that GM was a healthcare company that made cars. Are you seeing anything in the budget that will do anything about that, that will try to prevent that situation from getting worse?
Yeah, so about 10% of the base defense budget now goes to healthcare-related costs, the military healthcare. And looking back over the past decade, healthcare costs have grown 85% in the DoD's base budget, and this is driven largely, contrary to what a lot of people would think, it's not driven by the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's driven by the added benefits that have been given to retirees and the greater usage of those benefits that we've seen over the past decade. So one thing that's in the FY12 budget is a request to increase the amount that military retirees pay to stay in the military healthcare system by $5 per month. Now, and under the Bush administration back in, I believe it was the 2007 budget, they made a similar proposal, but they increased it by an average of $50 a month. Now, that did not get approved by Congress, and so those fees have not been increased. So in this year's budget, they're trying a much more modest approach of just increasing it by $5. The intent is to raise the premiums that military retirees pay so that some of them will be incentivized to stay on their private sector employers' plans instead of using the DOD healthcare plan. I'm afraid, though, that a $5 a month increase is not going to be enough to provide that incentive.
I'm realizing that I referred to former Secretary Gates a moment ago as Secretary Gates, and I apologize to Secretary Panetta and his staff for that moment of disrespect, but it's a habit that's been hard to break because Secretary Gates was in his job for as long as he was. He talked about that increase of healthcare premiums, and Deputy Secretary Lynn has referenced it several times, and members of Congress, some of them quite adamantly, have said this just isn't going to happen. What do you think that says about the overall potential future of the budget at DOD when there are some members who can't even wrap their heads around $60 a month for members of the military when TRICARE premiums haven't gone up for, it's been some tremendous, long period of time?
Yeah, and what that means is if DOD can't start to control the growth in healthcare cost and the growth in personnel cost overall, then that's going to start to squeeze the rest of the budget. And as we look out over the next 10 years, I think most people agree that the defense budget has probably reached a peak and it's going to start declining over the next 10 years. As that happens, if the wedge of funding that goes to personnel-related costs continues to grow, then that means things like procurement, research and development, and peacetime operations are going to get squeezed tightly in the future.
We've hit on a number of occasions on the show just today the situation with financial management at DOD. It's almost become a theme of the show today. Do you see anything in this budget that indicates what the future may hold for financial management? One of the things that Robert Hale has said on a number of occasions is we can get to a clean audit opinion by 2017 if we have the resources that we need. Are you seeing the resources that he needs to be able to do that?
Yeah, I think it's too soon to tell if they're going to get the resources they need. I think there are a lot of factors involved, and quite frankly, I think that there might be too many hopes pinned on this idea of getting to a full DOD audit. Really an audit just helps you understand where the money is going and track it and make sure it's not being wasted or abused in some way. I think if there were more than a few percent of the defense budget being abused like that, that we would know about it already, because there'd be a lot of incentive to find it and to put that money to good use. So I don't think that that's going to have a big impact in terms of getting the department more efficient. It's certainly a good thing to do. It's something DOD should have been able to do long ago. But really, I think when we're looking at the future budget environment, we've got to look beyond just efficiencies, and we've got to start looking at how do we adapt our strategy in an environment where resources are going to be constrained.
I would love to have you come on and talk about that in more depth at some point in the future, Todd. Before we go, though, if you could just kind of talk about the assessment for looking at the financial systems in the Pentagon and trying to find those efficiencies and so on, what prognosis is there? The audit opinions, as you mentioned, are one thing. There are a lot of folks that say, though, if we can't even get a clean audit opinion, we're skeptical of the numbers that the Pentagon puts out in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're right to have some skepticism. My only point is I wouldn't expect that we're going to suddenly have an aha moment and everything will be fixed. And, you know, we'll discover all that, you know, the waste, fraud, and abuse, and we can just wipe it out, you know, with the stroke of a pen. I wouldn't want people to set their hopes on that. Because, you know, the reality is, you know, getting control of a budget and an organization as large as DOD. I mean, keep in mind that DOD employs more than half of the federal workforce. They are larger than, you know, Walmart and the post office combined in terms of the number of people they employ. This is a huge organization, a huge annual budget, and so it's going to be hard to get control of. But nevertheless, we should keep trying.
Always appreciate having your insights, and congratulations on a successful event this morning. And thanks for coming on to talk about the defense budget, Todd.
Thank you. Good talking to you.